Gene Ammons on tenor sax, Joe Newman on organ, on trumpet, met Jack McDuff on organ with Stormy Monday Blues, as from Ammons' 1963 album, The Gene Ammons Story Organ Combos. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and what a weekend. We found out a lot of stuff about the constitutionality of the president in terms of his thinking and his actions over the weekend. But, Lord, we sound a bit, I sound, let me put it on me, I sound a little bit disappointed about where we are. And that's because I am. I think we shouldn't be in this state of distress and malaise, not when we see the picture so clearly. We should be more than prepared to move. President Trump and his administration have given and continue to give the opposition more than enough ammunition to blast gaping holes in his anti-humanitarian, anti-democratic agenda and bring it down. Last Thursday, Spain's arch-conservative Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy rejected yet another demand that he and his corrupt government resign. By Saturday, the center-left Socialist Party had pushed through a no-confidence vote against Rajoy in Parliament and removed him from power and replaced him with the party's Pedro Sanchez instead. In Spain, a major political change was hammered out. But in the United States, there is endless yammering by the opposition about Trump's corrupt and chaotic administration. Yammering is not hammering. That's what we're going to be talking about today. All these countries, you see, I mean, serious agitation in the streets. People are moving against governments that have shown themselves to be totally incapable or unfit for rule. And they're in the streets, many of them even dying over this very central point. Here in the United States, it's talk, 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 talk. And it's stupid talk. The stupid talk over the weekend is whether the president can pardon himself. I mean, why are we wasting time with this asinine discussion? We do have a timetable, and it's staring us right in the face. We have midterm elections coming up, and one would expect that by now we have our act together. California is a mess. The Democrats have no idea what they're doing to counter Trump and his administration. We do not see a congealed argument anywhere. We do not see leadership anywhere. They're acting like, well, you know, when the time comes, we'll start talking about it. But until then, you know, you could just sit on the benches and observe, which is crazy. We see where this man is going. I told you from the very beginning, and I wasn't wrong, and this is not about me being right. It's just that it was so obvious. I couldn't imagine that anybody couldn't see that this president was unfit for office. And that from the word go, there should be a fight. And a fight like you want to win. Instead, people are running for the tall grass, trying to defer as long as they can serious discussions about how do we bring his government down? That's the question. You don't have to hide it. This government is not of the people, by the people, for the people. This is a corrupt government. It is overloaded with people who are not qualified to do the jobs, and that includes the president and his children. This has become an international disgrace. This is what's passing for sensible government in the United States. And the people of the United States are acting like they're not in a coma, that they are fully awake, as if, well, we'll jump off that bridge when we come to it. I don't, I mean, maybe it's me. Okay, I'm going to confess it could be me, just me, and my crazy ideas. But by now we should have had several simmering pots of political discontent being massaged into political action. Nothing's happening. They're still having chit chats and acting like the people will see our message in time. The people will come forward and respond appropriately. The people are tired. The people have been misled so many times, they're disgusted because nobody's acting like an opposition. And those who are have not yet reached a point of critical mass. You have to organize. It takes time. This is 2018. You don't start organizing in 2020. The Democratic Party is an embarrassment. They're holding meetings and hearings and discussions forever. The last thing they're doing is moving on anything that they have decided would be critical issues. They're not organizing in the community. They're busy being televised, reading their prepared texts. And guess what? While they're content on doing that, this is the problem I have with these Democrats. The United Nations came out with a report saying that Donald Trump is making life harder and worse for the poor. That's the Democratic Party's base, isn't it? Isn't that the traditional base? Let me read what he says. This is a report filed by the Associated Press. The United Nations has never been shy about attacking the United States. In recent years, UN officials accused the Obama administration of failing to address police brutality and sexual assault in the military. After a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville last year, the UN team tasked with monitoring the implementation of the Global Convention Against Discrimination called on high-level U.S. politicians and public officials to unequivocally reject racial hate speech. Also last year, the world body called President Trump's attacks on the media, quote, dangerous, unquote. Now, a top human rights investigator is criticizing the United States for failing the poor. You know how distressing it is to read those few words to you? As if the Democratic Party can't see it, or any party. They can't see what is happening. Philip Alston, UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights, has spent the past several months visiting impoverished communities across the United States. In one visit to Alabama, he met a family struggling to maintain their home on an income of $958 a month. On the day of his visit, he said, sewage was visible inches from the family's house, a reflection of their county's failing infrastructure, and mildew and mold were growing inside. Alston said he had never seen sewage problems like it in the developed world. There's a human right for people to live decently, he said at the time, according to an AL.com, an Alabama news outlet. Alston, a New York University law professor, also paid visits to slum areas in downtown Los Angeles and Puerto Rico. Now, ahead of a presentation to the United Nations later this month, he's criticizing the Trump administration for gutting the United States safety net by slashing welfare benefits and access to health insurance. If food stamps and access to Medicaid are removed and housing subsidies cut, then the effect on people living on the margins will be drastic, he told The Guardian, saying the loss of those protections would lead to severe deprivation. He also lambasted the administration over its recent tax cut, saying the legislation will offer financial windfalls to the rich and large corporations, leading to even more inequality. The government should think harder about how to help those in need rather than punishing and imprisoning the poor, he said. The policies pursued over the past year seem deliberately designed to remove basic protections from the poorest, punish those who are not in employment, and make even basic health care into a privilege to be earned rather than a right of citizenship, Alston said. About 41 million Americans live in poverty, according to government data. That's about 12.7% of the population, and one in three of those are children. The United States has one of the highest youth poverty rates in the developed world. Critics of Alston point out that these statistics are from 2016, before Trump took office. But he explains that the numbers are always a year late. So as bad as it is that with the numbers that he is using, imagine if you were to use current numbers with regard to the Trump administration. Okay. Now he is a special official with the United Nations. But you mean to tell me, heading into year two of this administration, and knowing what the Democrats, the great Nancy Pelosi, leader of the Democrats, what she knows about this administration, they haven't put together a program yet that they are going to be championing or have already begun to champion in Congress. And he says here, the United States, with all of the tralala that they're talking about, is having one of the worst records of the line between rich and poor. Now, I really am disgusted that they're talking about all these things, all these programs, but the basics seem to elude them every single time. We're talking survival. We're talking a level of poverty we have not seen in many places since the Great Depression. And they're having more and more hearings, more and more meetings, more and more briefings, more and more bureaucracy, but little action. And we see what's going on. The kleptocrats are plundering this country. The people who have access to power and money in this country are literally raping this country. The president has brought the office of the president to a level that we haven't seen before. It's so embarrassing. And look at what people outside of the United States are doing, which is about the same question. What is the purpose of government? In Spain, they solved that. They took to the streets against a kleptocracy that was stealing everything that they could lay their hands on. And then they found a strategy to move the unresponsive party out of the way and put somebody in as of Saturday. That fight began the previous Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. And they have a new government. That doesn't mean he's going to guarantee success at any of the issues that they were dealing with, but I'm saying it shows that when people are serious, they can make these kinds of changes rapidly. Here we are in the United States sitting on our butts, waiting to see who is going to step forward with a plan. And the Democratic Party, the party historically associated with championing the poor, they're still sitting there holding hearings to try and discover what the problem is. Aren't you fed up with that? And it's gotten it to the point of an overflow effect. Political parties have ceased talking about this basic, this most essential issue. They're telling us the problem is about, how do we have a more fair society? And I don't want to hear this nonsense. There's more than enough evidence before us. And there has been more than enough evidence to show we are in deep trouble. We have been consistently betrayed by the parties that promised to place a priority on the issues that we raised. They didn't, they haven't. And my suspicion is they won't. So the time for soft talk is over. We have to play hardball. I'm serious about that. Don't tell me what the problem is. I told you, and I expect it to be fixed. What are we going to do? Share your ideas, Mr. Democrat. Mr. Liberal, what is the plan? Are we going to do this or not? If not, then I go about my business. I'm going to go about my business because I will have to construct inevitably some system relating to my survival. You guys are not doing it. We're telling you what to do. We're advising you what to do. We're giving you all kinds of hints of what to do. And we're also indicating we will support you if you take up these banners. But there's been no such thing. People are cutting deals like crazy. California is an absolute mess. The most populous state in the United States, where it should be so clear what the political imperatives are. They're still trying to figure out who's who. Not what they're going to do to solve this situation, but who's who. Who is more Democrat and who is more Republican and whatnot. They're fighting over stupid stuff. And they are the number one, the most populous state in the country. And we smack dab in the middle of 2018. And we have midterms coming up. Who needs a party that can't get its act together? There ought to be a massive rebellion. Get out. Get out of the parties. Leave them, abandon them, because they certainly have abandoned you. And me. We're sick of it. The assumption always is that they will get over on the people. And the people wouldn't mind because they're so forgiving. They're so understanding. And they historically have looked to us for leadership. You're incapable of leadership is my point. You've had the benefit of time. You've had the benefit of doubt. And we see what you produce, which is very little. Now, why should I, or why should anybody, continue this treadmill? We put ourselves on a treadmill. We know how it's going to end, but we still are on that treadmill, hoping against hope. No! That time is done. We have to be very, very harsh and punish the heck out of them. We don't have to ask you to do something. And this was what the instruction was from Spain over the weekend. We don't have to kiss your butt and then put up with the rotten decisions that you're making in secret, behind closed doors, cutting deals left, right, and center, and leaving us with the burden of funding your crazy ideas. Who needs that? People seriously have to consider taking drastic political action in order to see to their own survival. Rather than spend another nanosecond with a party that's not going anywhere and not doing very much, you use that time to figure out what's your next move. And you let them know. You failed the test. We gave you all the time you needed. We gave you all the support you asked for. We gave you all our trust and understanding and our hope. And our funds, we've given you as much as we could give you to get the job done. What did we get in return? Scandals? corruption, cronyism, and a total disrespect for even the basic contract between the people and the party. We don't need that. Get rid of the party. Leave the party. It's going to be a hard short-term sacrifice. But we have to have some kind of self-respect, it seems to me. We have to think of reorganizing this formula. It's not working. And when it works to our disadvantage. Why are we talking in 2018 about extreme poverty in this country? Why? Why are we talking or hearing from a UN official that the Trump administration has even exacerbated the yawning gaps between rich and poor? Why is that acceptable? Why is it that people have in certain parts of our country a standard of living that you would equate to a country that's just beginning to crawl out of the 1930s? Why are teachers buying books out of their own wages, which aren't even adequate, so that the children can learn? Why are we putting up with these indignities as if we have no choice? And these barely qualified people are making a mess of things. They're grabbing as much money as they could put their hands on. Read just the other day, Ivanka Trump has managed to get 17 more licenses to manufacture goods in China. How does that happen? We know it's a dishonest administration, a crooked administration. Everybody is after one thing, money and power. So it's two things, money and power. And they're saying to us, go to hell. We are in charge. We know what we're doing to make things best for the country. It's not easy. They give you all these stupid explanations. It will take some time. Yeah, but you're not suffering. You are not suffering. So it comes back to us. We cannot let ourselves off the hook. We have seen so many examples abroad where people fed up with being the brunt of the sacrifice for the nation, but the nation is doing well. If you happen to be one of the oligarchs, they've reached a point of disgust and they took action. And they got results. From Thursday to Saturday, Spain now has a new prime minister. And he may not be any good at all. But here's what I marvel at and what I find satisfactory is that the people decided we need a change and they got it. They made it happen. And if he's not the one, he's going to go too until they find the right one who understands what a government is supposed to do. and who will not sit back and be targets of this kind of political terrorism. This is crazy. We'll take a break here and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888, right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and before we go any further, I just want to thank you. So many of you dropped me a very kind word about my birthday on Friday. Me and Methuselah, we're pretty much the same age now. But thank you so much for your sincere thoughts. I really was uplifted by them. And we'll continue to be uplifted by them. 888-874-4888. What are we going to do with about this lack of movement that we continue to see by those political parties and entities and movements that we thought would have gotten the message by now that there ought to be a plan. And we need to know what it is. And we need to decide ourselves. We need to decide, irrespective of their plans and whatever else they're offering, we need to decide whether we just need to back off, because we're not getting anywhere with these systems, and create systems of our own, because the bottom line is everybody has to see to his or her survival. That's what it comes down to. What are your thoughts about that? And we're looking at it from the point of view, it's as they say, it's nothing personal, it's just business. The rate of return on our investment has been very low and unsatisfying. And we have to grow up. We all have to grow up. And it cannot be assumed that the job, our job, is consistently to support a system that doesn't deliver or doesn't understand the urgency of the situation. We can't allow that. So if we have to catch hell, let's cut our losses and catch hell. But we would have our own plan. We have to make our own plan. We have to survive. If the parties and the movements are not doing the job, we don't have the benefit of time. We don't have the ability to forgive them their trespasses. Not anymore. Why are 283 schools being shut down in Puerto Rico? And that's okay. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air.
How you doing? I know you're a little aggravated today, but it's going to be all right. Trust me.
I know. Thank you.
Trust me.
Thanks so much for your consolation.
It's all right. Listen, we're being pushed into a corner that we're going to have to make a decision on the truth or the lies. And that's in a spiritual sense. But what we need to do is go back to church. And I mean that both in a spiritual way and a community way. the black community, the church was the centerpiece of political organization. It was a centerpiece of charitable contributions, and as a centerpiece for learning. And I'm not just saying in the black community, but all communities, because we need to begin to deal with truth. And when we do that, we will get a divorce. You know, we'll get a divorce from this pretty woman called the Democrat, and we will stand on our own 2 feet. We need to create a separate party. I like what they're doing in London with the Labour Party there. And they're really kind of speaking their truth to power, and they're really moving things. So I think around the world, they're not as dummy down as we are. So in Europe, you will see these protests like they did in Spain. I had one gentleman say, because I had a Volkswagen years ago, and the transmission went. But that was a problem throughout North America with Volkswagens. And a gentleman came from Germany, and he told me, said, if this had happened in Germany and they didn't recall it, they would burn the factory down. So there's a whole different attitude about how to do things. We've been more or less distracted from dealing with truth, with our cell phones, with all these other things going on. Roseanne Barr on TV, you know, Trump doing his circus in the White House. We've been taking off the focus of the basically, you know, we can blame the news, we can blame other people. And now is the time where, you know what, it's smacking us in the face, and we have to, like you said, create a change. And that change is going to be changing our being self-reliant. And I'm not just concerned with my survival, but the survival of my neighbor, the survival of my town, the survival of my state. And that will transfer into the survival of the country. You know, folks that are voting for Trump, and then they can be country folks and farmers and so on and so forth. But this is the same guy that's lifted the restrictions in the EPA and allow people to dump in the rivers that you fish in, that you hunt in, et cetera, et cetera. So folks have got to wake up, and we need to sound that drum loudly. This is against your interest, and you need to point out the facts, you know. And that's one of the ways, person to person, is to point out the facts that what is harming you, your health care. You know, just had a report on our Richard Wolf yesterday reported that 90% of doctors in emergency situations had to leave their patients and go tend to the fact that they didn't have supplies. 25% said they didn't have the supplies they needed to take care of people in emergency situations. We pay, in America, more money than anyone else on the planet for health care. How the hell do you not have supplies? You know, how do you not have supplies in your hospitals for emergency situations? What we're putting, like you said, we're not getting any return on the money we're investing. How are we issuing money? And this is the thing about, you know, my thing about giving money to Israel. How are we giving them $90 billion? And we're shutting down schools here. You can say anything you want about us having an ally in the Middle East, but if we can't take care of home, we're going to breed homebred terrorists.
Well, this is the question. To what degree are we committed to being very serious about our interests, our collective interests, and moving, I should say, and creating vehicles that would help us realize these ideals that we keep talking about? We keep talking about prosperity for the community, not just for, you know, yourself. You're talking about everybody's standard of living should be, you know, you should have a decent standard of life.
Well, there,
you shouldn't
there are
be
things...
living hand to mouth like this. The elderly need to be taken care of. Children need to have a proper education. What is the best way, in your view, or the most efficient way to get some of this done?
The most efficient way right now would be to go, everyone to go back to their place of worship, because the place of worship is not under as strict scrutiny as far as what they can do. Opening schools, doing this thing, I think they should do in Puerto Rico. Churches here should adopt a church there.
Well, you know, of course, in that realm, you have incredible evidence of co-optation.
That's like a $13 word. I only have $14. I only have $12.
No, people capture these leaders and, you know, make them and turn them away from what they should be doing into puppets of the ruling regime.
The thing is, if you do it within a community, and this is my thought, if you do it within a community, then you can hold the leaders more accountable because they have to live amongst you. You know, the leaders that are up in Capitol Hill and live elsewhere in their little gated communities, they don't suffer any consequences, right? If the leader lives in your community, you can drag him out of the house and beat him with canes if you needed to, right? So if you have your leaders from your community, starting within your communities, and they become you can police your leaders that way within your community. And that's where we have to kind of start. We have to start small because on a large scale, corporations are running the deal, right? So we have to do things within passion from hand to hand, whether we barter for services, whether we, I don't want to say create a whole new currency, but whether we barter for services or we do things that make an economy that's small enough to sustain. You know, we buy things on the outside, but when people start building those communities, and they are, you know, that's the one of the things I was going to say. You know, there is a movement going on, and young people see it because they're not invested in the stock market, so they don't trust the stock market. But what really was amazing was over the weekend, or the last, from May 1st to May 16th, students at NYU staged a sit-in to save 32 workers' jobs. Now, I've been to college. I've worked in situations where, you know, worked in cafeterias and stuff like that. And there's usually a dichotomy. Your students going to NYU have got some money. And they really don't, most of the time, don't really care about your workers. They say hello and all that stuff. They're polite and so on and so forth. But for students to sit in and stand up for workers, you know, people without a degree, people not in their clique, people not from their neighborhood, for them to stand up, they recognize that we all are in this together. And if I stand up for him, I'm standing up for myself. Because like one of the workers said, he said, they're going to be going into the workforce pretty soon. And what corporations have done to people over this time to make them relying upon income. I was here, and I live here in New Jersey, so we had AT&T, we had the major companies here. At one point in time in the 80s, they began to fire all their managers making, you know, $100, $150,000 a year. The supervisors then had to take over who were making $50,000 a year. And that's when the work week went from 40, it went to 60, 70 hours because you just saw your boss get fired. And you're only making $50,000. You know, they may have given you a little raise, but now you're afraid that if that can happen to him, it can happen to me. So I now have to work all these hours. My wife now has to leave the house and begin to work, you know, which is really when you work those extra hours, it becomes a pay downgrade, you know.
Well, you've given us a pretty good tour, but the question still is, we're running out of time. Well, let's hear from Ali from New York. Thanks so much, Jeff, for getting us started today. Ali, how are you?
Hi, Utrecht. Belated birthday. I didn't listen to the show on Friday, and I just heard it was your birthday. I hope that you remain with us forever and ever and ever.
Me too. I'm hoping so.
Yes, thank you.
What are your thoughts about the situation that we're in here? And it seems as if no matter what we do, these parties are just not getting the message about the urgency with which they ought to be responding, and responding intelligently.
Okay. The first thing that I'm going to tell you is that there is a group that we meet on Sunday, every Sunday, except for yesterday. Some people that went to the Left Forum, I boycotted. I didn't go for various reasons, and I guess you are aware of what happened there, what is happening with the Left Forum. But I will have to, I did propose the other day to see if we could invite Mr. Philly Alston to see if we could have a conference about inequality, being that he actually wrote that report. And so we are working on that conference on inequality. But I will have to say this about what you're talking about, creating our own system. Listen, every time talk about for people, you know, for us to create our own system, to be self-reliable about, you know, us doing things. I think about the Moon group, which Mumia is a member, and what happened to them when they tried to create their own system. I'm also thinking about, I believe it was Schumer who wanted to put through a bill about people boycotting and to put you in jail if you boycott, especially when it came to the issue about Palestine. So every time that you ask that question, what can we do? And people talk about we could create this, we could create that to help ourselves. I'm thinking about that. The government itself is trying to attack you any way that you're trying to go, either to create your own industry, to create your own business. They will attack you. This is a fact. For me, if you don't bring the system down, there is no way. And I'm. It's too bad that I sound so negative. I really don't see us getting away to creating our own system. I just don't see it, not in this country. I could see other countries in Europe because they have more experience. The reason being in here is so many people from so many different parts of the world that we are not coming together. We have race problem. We have class issues. It's so many different issues. And even look at us, Latinos, we have so many issues among ourselves. So every time that you talk about that, I just see what the government has been doing in this country. They destroy you. Occupy Wall Street was trying to create an own system, and they couldn't do it. So I would like to be more positive about what can we do at this time. I could do, you know, I try to do as little as I can or as much as I can, I would say, but I just see the government taking all of us down, all of us. They have the power and they have the weapons. And this is what they have been doing. And Mumia is a perfect example of what people have trying to do to try to create their own system. Their own system. I mean, that group tried to do it. And look what happened to them. They were bombed.
Well, gave us a very sobering analysis. Let's see how people react to it. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you trees. I'm going to get right to the point. These scoundrels that sit in the Congress and in the various other legislative branches, they're a bunch of scoundrels, and they don't represent us. So anyone who thinks they represent the masses of the people is being deluded to the point of, I'm just wondering about you. If you think these people in Congress represent you, you must be losing your mind. These people represent the basic people, the corporate interests, and those people that give them those large campaign contributions and all the perks and all the outside deals for their families and whatnot, they represent them. They don't represent you. They think they are fooling you by going out and, soliciting your vote and whatnot, but that's their interest. So the way I would approach this is to do the research on who those entities are that pay for their campaign and election and so forth. All the corporations make I think it's public knowledge. You can find out who gives each person the money to run and set up a system where you deal with the most vulnerable corporations and you attack them by boycott. I mean, the only other thing one could do is, a physical revolutionary situation. Now, but I'm not advocating that. I'm saying target those companies, those corporations that make the biggest contribution towards those crooks that sit in the legislative branch, and do massive boycotts by the people, and they will put the pressure on those people currently sitting in the legislative branches to do what you want. Now, one of the things that you want them to do immediately is to improve these laws about who can set up a party or who can run for different offices. Now, the way they have it set up now, there's a monopoly, and that is the one party, the Republican-Democrat Party, and they set it up so it's very hard to get anyone else running in an election in this country in most places. So we want to eliminate those laws that hamstring people from being able to run for anything, and we put the pressure on the paymaster for those crooks that are in the legislative branch to change that, or that's it. And when you put me a boycott on, you know, the companies, the big companies where especially the masses of people spend money, I mean, you could put those fast food places out of business. You could, you know, you'd lean on them so hard that they would lean on the people that work for them, the vassals that sit there, and get them to change that so the masses of people could start organizing and create entities to run candidates to serve the interests of the people. So that could be done. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. We live in a place where they spend nearly $1 trillion on, I don't call it defense, I call it a war and intelligence and whatnot. And the people are living like they are here in this country right now, a lot of poor people, and it doesn't have to be that way. So the first step is the boycott and selecting the companies that do the biggest things in terms of campaign contributions and lean on them. Put the finger on them, not go into the fast food places, not buy the automobiles, and do all those things. And those little ones, the vassals and the Congress and various other places are going to have to respond, so the ballot will be open up and get rid of all those laws, those felony laws, disenfranchisement laws. Those things. That's what we have to do first.
Well, thank you very much. Always a sobering thought from you, David. Thank you very much for that. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We have to start thinking and then activating our thinking, because we see where we are. We just are, you know, incidental to this process called democracy. Let's not make it accidental. Let's make it purposeful. Stay tuned. Coming up next, What in the Cell is Going On? That's the new program that we have, and I hope you stay tuned and listen. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for your thoughts and your contributions today, and we'll see each other. Bye-bye.